Blog Talk Radio.
Weekend Edition Culture Shock Entertainment Report. I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True. This is the Weekend Edition Culture Shock Entertainment Report. My apologies for the delay of the beginning of the show. The Android that I was planning to utilize was not juiced up. Now, just as I come on the air, it's to the point where I could to convert broadcast from it. So I'm broadcasting from my MyTouch. T-Mobile, what's up, T-Mobile? So my apologies for the tardiness. It's not a good look, and it's not good with Blog Talk Radio also. But it was a technical situation with dealing with my Android. And I had a caller in the switchboard room, and oh, my goodness, because I had asked one of my Facebook friends, longtime Facebook friends, to call in also so we could talk about the death of Chris Lighty and the topic of suicide, which has been a big topic here on Culture Shock Entertainment Report. Just last Monday, you know, my dear friend, my number one self-proclaimed fan in New York City last Monday on air, when he admitted on air that he had been having suicidal thoughts. And quickly, you know, we began talking and we got to the point where he was talking about the reasons that it's important for him to live. And the following day, last Tuesday, on that Tuesday, that was the topic was devoted to, preventing suicide. But in the past couple of weeks, there have been numerous, at least three entertainment movers and shakers who have committed suicide. And we have, Tony Scott, and then a documentary producer committed suicide earlier this week, and then Chris Lighty. I am still baffled and saddened. I couldn't believe it. I found out via TMZ. I was doing research for a Friday show, the sports edition of Culture Shock Entertainment Reports on Friday. And that is when I found out when they had broke the news. And I was like, what? No way. So you might not know, I've loved his work as a hip hop executive manager since the 90s. But those of you that might say, well, who is Chris Lighty? But you might not know his name, but you know artists that he's represented and managed, and from the likes of LL Cool J to Mariah Carey, because I think he's her current manager, and 50 Cent, and the list goes on and on. So I had invited a Facebook friend. I was talking about Chris Lighty and how such a pioneer and such an important part of hip-hop and the music industry. And also, those of you that know information regarding Prince concert dates, including the date regarding the outdoor concert that has been in talks and in the works in St. Paul. Plus, I hear that he's stopping in Chicago. And so any information regarding Prince date, so we can spread the word to those who plan to attend. And I guess he will be coming down to the South in the not-too-far future. Also, he and the MPG just blazing it up, so that would be good. But again, thank you, and again, my apologies for the delay, and also to blogtalkradio.com also, because I was so happy because I made it to the residence an hour at 7 o'clock, and I was like, good, I can start the show on time. I had a lot of things to do today. This morning I attended Guitar Center have resumed their classes. They were recording made easy classes. Software recording here in Jackson. The classes are taught by one of the managers at the local Guitar Center. Steve is an awesome employee, but definitely an awesome teacher in regards to teaching us the proper ways to properly record. And so every Saturday, check your local Guitar Center, because it's at every Guitar Center. These classes are being held on Saturday free at 10 o'clock. And they're amazing. Amazing. I posted a few pictures on my Facebook page. I don't know if I tweeted any out or not. But I attended a couple back in the springtime. But if I can happen, I'm not missing any of the four classes. I mean, I've done well going to this first one. But it's a blast. Really, it's a blast. And pretty much the first class is like an overview of what will be discussed in the future classes. So don't afraid if you miss this class, because there's pretty much an overview of what will be discussed on in depth during classes 2, 3, and 4. But very informative and so on. It was sunny and it was raining, and I checked out the Bourne Legacy today. I like that movie. I know I hadn't seen Sparkle yet, but the Bourne Legacy, and believe it or not, I had not seen the Matt Damon version, Jason Bourne, and this is about Aaron Cross. Very intriguing film. I liked it. It was very thrilling, very action packed, perfect for intellectuals. I know we all consider ourselves intellectuals, right? But really, I loved the film. You know, I thought I was not. Because I was like, I really want to see this movie. And then as I sit and watch it, I was beginning to think, well, am I really going to like this movie? But then when you catch yourself wanting more and more and more, you know, I know sometimes it happens with movies that you don't like to, but I honestly like the movie, so I see what all the hype is all about. But then I was trying to dig between the campaign and Lawless, because Lawless seems like Bashar LaBeouf. It seemed like that's an interesting movie also regarding the Prohibition days. But I really would like to see Apparition also with Ashley Green, even though it's a PG-13. Seemed like it's rather spooky to me. But you better believe it. If Magic Mike was still there, Magic Mike probably would have enticed me to check it out again. I can't wait for the sequel of Magic Mike. So my caller did call back. It might be my friend who you are going to talk about the life of Chris Whiting and also the topic of suicide. Also, I'm not sure it might be, but thank you again for tuning in. And my apologies for the delay. Like I said, I was so excited that I did make it to the residence. An hour before showtime, but I was experiencing, you know, technical difficulty with the Android that I wanted to broadcast from. Again, thank you. And remember, next week, the World High Fashion on September the 8th will be gift. And also, True God will be returning soon. Also, last week he showed interest and told me that he's ready to come back because he has a lot to talk about. So let me go ahead and confirm that date, but you can also catch him and his friends on Wednesdays with Wrestling Heads right here on blogtalkradio.com at 3 p.m. Eastern Time is their time of the air. And also Michael Scott's show, PCP Network will be returning on Wednesday also at noon Eastern Standard Time. Remember, he was on a couple weeks ago. He and I both are members of Lewis Howe's Sports Executive Association. But again, thank you. Here's Austin Brown.
I am in a predicament, trying to be a gentleman. She wants me back again.
Oh, I tried so hard
to be as faithful, but I wasn't able. Now it's more painful. Oh, the grass seems green on the other side, and I don't want to see what I have to leave behind. Don't make me choose to be here without you. There's no rules to fit.
No rules
when
to
you
fit.
Fall in a kit. We find that true love can be with more than one. I'm caught in between.
Caught in between.
Both can be mean. I gotta choose one, but with you it's more fun.
Why is the magic
one? My my dreams will get shot down. I'm late to the showdown.
Troubles all around.
Love of the shepherd, left from the shelter to try to find better.
Oh, the grass seems green on the other side, and I don't want to see what I have to leave behind.
Don't make me choose to begin without you. There's no rules to fit.
No,
when you fall in a kit, we find that true love can be with more than one. I'm caught in between.
Caught in
the
between.
Both can be mean. I've got to choose one, but with you it's more fun.
Why is
Well, moments in love are of Norris. One long song that I'm sure I'm not alone, that I don't mind hearing, right? Right. Like I said, many of us know who Chris Lighty was and his life story and accomplishments still live on. But some of you might say, well, who is Chris Lighty? You all know how much I love to share Wikipedia. And he was born on May the 8th, 1968, in Bronx, New York City. And, you all know by now, he passed away on August 30th in the Bronx, in his backyard. Those are what most reports are saying. He was an American music industry executive. He founded Violator, a record label, management, and marketing company. That's why I admire him since the 90s. I also worked with artists and so on, and I mean, he just went on and on and just worked with some of the best and came up with some of the best ideas. Founded Violator, a record label, management, and marketing company, which represented hip-hop artists such as Nas, Ja Rule, Mobb Deep, Missy Elliott, LL Cool J, and 50 Cent. He served as Sean P. Diddy Combs' manager. The New York Times called him one of the most powerful figures in the hip-hop business. Lighty, again, like I said, Lighty was born in the Bronx, New York, on May the 8th, 1968, and raised in the Bronx River Housing Project. His mother was single. He had six siblings. He did not attend college. Wow. And stated that he got his MBA in hell. In reference to growing on the streets of a dangerous neighborhood. Lightly got his start in the music industry by carrying in vinyl record crates, the DJ Red Alert, then Russell Simmons Company, Rush Management, another inspiration of mine, company, Rush Management, hired him. Lightly founded a management company in the early 1990s called Violator. The company is named after the gang he was a member of in the Bronx. Violator was responsible for getting LL Cool J a Gap commercial in 1997. He also developed an endorsements with the Tribe Called Quest and Sprite and Busta Rhymes and Mountain Dew. In 2004, Lighty brokered the largest brand endorsement deal in hip-hop to date. He was the architect of what turned out to be one of the most lucrative deals in hip-hop history, 50 Cent's Vitamin Water Pack. Wow, you all know that. He's still doing that. When Coca-Cola paid $4.1 billion for the company 3 years later, 50 Cent walked away with $100 million and Lighty received an undisclosed sum. In 2011, Lighty launched the website PleaseListenToMyDemo.com, which allowed new artists to submit their music online and have top music executives listen to it. Lighty worked for Def Jam, Jive, and Loud. He was chief executive of the Grand Essay Group. In 2011, Violator merged with another company called Primary Wave. Two companies merged to form Primary Violator. In regards to his death, on August 30th, Lighty was found dead in his Bronx apartment. It was believed to have been a self-inflicted gunshot wound. The New York Daily News reported that a gunshot was heard and Lighty was found lying face up with a 9mm pistol next to his body. Forbes magazine reported that he had earlier been involved in an argument with his ex-wife, Veronica, not too long before he was found. Okay, I've heard different reports and seen different media reports regarding this. I heard that originally. Then I heard it had something to do with his wife had stated in the media report that it had something to do with IRS, but he had paid his bill down. But then a few minutes ago, I read another report that one of his business partners said that his suicide had nothing to do with his death. So there are references that you can check out. The Chris Lighty Death Shakes Hip Hop World, Celebrities in Mourning. I know I posted like three or four stories yesterday on Twitter and Facebook. Hip-hop business pioneer Chris Lighty did at 44. Then as Chris Lighty launches his new website. These are references used for this Wikipedia. And then there's another one, Hip Hop Manager Chris Mighty did after shooting. These are just stories that they have posted to this Wikipedia. But I have posted some awesome articles also, and then I'm checking out New York Times, and also you also can check out his website. I'm sure his website is stating some information also regarding his death. But it's just sad whenever we lose anyone, and that is a topic that I talk about and a lot of my friends talk about. Zane, one of my favorite authors, who just released a book earlier this week, that's something that she talked about on her Facebook page just earlier this week also, about how important it is if you feel like you're having suicidal thoughts, reach out to others. Most definitely call the suicide hotline line. You know, really. I see Ebony Empress from the UK is on too, from Real Talk, which airs on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So I guess you have heard enough of me, so just talk to my friends who are online also. Again, thank you for tuning in. And let's say hello to one, my friend. Let's see. I hope it's my friend who really, I just need to be quiet and listen to what he has to say, because he has a lot to say regarding Chris Lighty and also regarding the topic of suicide also. And also we'll chime in with Ebony Empress.
Hello?
Hello. Hi, who are you and where are you calling from?
Atlanta, Georgia.
And who am I speaking with?
My name is Jabril.
Is it Jabril, my friend from Facebook?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Hello, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Fine. Except, obviously, we both are brokenhearted regarding what we have been talking about.
Yes, yes, Violator Chris will definitely be missed. He had a huge impact on, at least speaking for myself, as a teenager, he had a heavy impact on me in the mid-80s. We were roughly the same age, but he had a heavy impact upon me with regards to the number of musical groups that he pushed.
Yes, me too, because he really inspired me also, because I myself love working with artists and consulting and marketing and managing artists. So I always admired him just being hardcore and just going after it, and strictly from the underground. He definitely rose up from the underground to be one of the most powerful executives in hip-hop and in the music industry, period. So it's just amazing to see his work. And then those that he worked with, like I talked about reading his Wikipedia information and bio, Russell Simmons and P. Diddy, and wow.
Him rise literally before my eyes, I mean, just coming out of nowhere, just from being a guy who was receiving shout-outs from DJ Red Alert to a hip-hop mogul. I mean, it was amazing. The first time I heard about Violator Chris, I think it was like 1986.
Yeah.
And that's when DJ Red Alert had him and, of course, his group, The Violators.
Yeah.
And they were pushing artists.
I remember they used to tour a lot, because I know they used to stop in Jackson a lot, but I would remember if I met him in person, you know? But I remember they used to tour a lot, The Violators. DJ The Violators. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Okay.
Yeah, just to see the push that they gave the Jungle Brothers, who gave a push to, as a side note, to other groups like Stetsasonic and then De La Soul. And
yes,
the Jungle Brothers had a direct impact upon A Tribe Called Quest.
Yes.
I mean, this is hip-hop history. truly hip-hop history, so he would definitely be missed. I mean, the impact that he had with Fat Joe, you know, as Fat Joe said, you know, Violator Chris saved his life.
Yeah. So, elaborate on that. Some people might want to know what you mean. How did he? Cause, you know, some people want to know, and some people might know of this manager that cared about his artist, but people like to hear these human stories.
I mean, he took a bunch of young people, you know, in the streets, and gave them, you know, hope and a dream, and gave them a goal. And so now we see, you know, guys and ladies who came from nothing, or basically who went from zero to being hero.
Exactly. Wow.
So his impact was definitely missed, and we need more celebrities who are willing to take a chance with, you know, young people throughout the country. And, you know, and the good thing, and the nice thing about Chris Lighty is that not only was he a muggle, but he stayed home. He stayed in the Bronx.
Yeah.
He stayed in the Bronx. He didn't become rich and decide to get a home that was, you know, unreachable. Or untouchable from his community. He stayed in his community. So that's something that, you know, young aspiring celebrities or young aspiring artists should look at. You don't have to become wealthy and become unattached to your community.
Because, like, there's some celebrities that don't even visit where they come from, and he remained in his city, in his community. That is a major deal.
Exactly. But that's the only thing I could add. I mean, his legacy speaks for itself, and his impact will live on, you know, through the artists that he affected. I'm just fortunate at my age that I got a chance to see that evolution.
Yeah, and then it's so important that you mention the conscious rap, because I love, man, De La Soul, and wow, the conscious rap artist. And some people probably say, well, conscious rap artist, but I mean, we still have conscious rappers in rap and music, but that was a time in hip hop history, the conscious rap, and what you mentioned that. If you were not around then, or you weren't interested in hip hop then, you need to, every group that he listed, named, you need to research and listen to their music and listen to the lyrics. And you will realize what conscious rap is all about.
It changed my life.
Exactly. Exactly. Because those conscious rap artists that he worked with back in the day, they really shared knowledge. They had us wanting more, more, more. Wanting more, more, more. Conscious artists are still around, but we're talking about certain groups, the groups that he mentioned. And you all see how Q-Tip is today. This is Q-Tip spawned from A Tribe Called Quest. So if you love Q-Tip as a producer and solo artist, now check out where he came from. You know. That's good you mentioned that, because, you know, there are some people that don't know the roots.
Right.
You know. And you're right. It's something, Chris Lighty stayed consistent. So, wow, you shared something else, too, in regards to suicide that's important for all of us to really take note and to share with others and those of you that are listening that are suicidal. I mean, he had some good advice regarding that topic.
The main thing that I wish to stress with regards to suicide is that if anybody feels that their issues or their problems are overwhelming, it's extremely important to talk to God or whatever your belief system is. Get in touch with it. Get in tune with it. Because suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. You can
mm-hmm.
always come back, whatever the issue is. You know, and at that particular time, the situation may seem just that deep, but if you take a closer look at it, you can come back from it. You can always come back from it. You know, but once you commit suicide, you can't come back from it. And then what happens is that your loved ones who were left behind, they have to deal with it for the remainder of their lives. So it's extremely important if you feel overwhelmed, you know, get in touch or get in tune with whatever your belief system is. If you don't have a particular belief system, it's okay to reach out to people. It's okay to seek counseling. That's the major thing I have to stress, that, you know, it's never, never, ever that deep. But you have to take your own life.
Yeah, and think about those whom you will leave who would be devastated. Because like I said, one of my Facebook friends and who self-proclaimed number one fan of mine in New York City, last Monday on the air, live on the air like you and I are talking, bluntly came out and said, "Beth, I'm having suicidal thoughts. You talking about somebody that had to keep calm." I was like, what on the inside of me? What did he just say? Oh, my God. Live on the air. You know? And we talked and talked. And then before long, he started saying what you just said. Well, if I did do that, I couldn't come back. There's no returning back. You know? So,
right.
And that's serious. Yeah, he started talking. He started talking all the reasons why he shouldn't kill himself. Because he can't even return back from it if he did, you know? Because
right.
I'm like, think about me. Think about your other, you know, here he is telling me all the time, oh, he's my number one fan, and he's, you know, my Facebook friend. And I'm like, you think about those who do love you and support you. Think about how I would feel if I heard, got the news you killed yourself, you know? I mean, my good, that is serious. You can't return from that. I don't know how true it is. They say it's ultimate sin. I don't know if that's true or not. But we do know we can't return from death.
This is true. This is true. And as far as, like, what was going on with Chris Lighty's personal life, only him and his ex-wife, God knows what happened. I've heard various reports, but at
what
the end
have
of the day,
you heard? What have you heard? What's the real story?
It's right now, it's real vague. At one point, people were talking about his taxes, but I don't believe it was his taxes. He had made enough money from a real estate deal late last year to take care of the tax issue. So whatever
yeah.
it was, it I guess at that particular time, he just felt overwhelmed. And, you know, it's real good. It would be real good, you know, if when people get in situations like that, there's somebody that you can immediately, you know, reach out to. You know, hindsight's 20/20. But if there's any listeners out there who are having issues like that or feeling or have experiencing depression or whatnot, whatever you do, please reach out to somebody.
Exactly. I've never been suicidal, but you see how I am on my Facebook page. I'm happy-go-lucky, but I'll share with you all when I'm feeling blah and about my down situations too. And sometimes I might post something and think I'm like sounding crazy, and then I'm shocked at the number of people who feel the same way. I'm like, but you're right. You don't own an offline friends, if it's somebody you can talk to in person, or if it's somebody online that you talk to in private, you know, in chat, you don't know who can encourage you. And we don't know the people who we touch. sometimes the people we touch, we least expect, and that'll be who comes out and help change your way of thinking. Yeah, you're right about you're so right about that. That's why I'm so concerned. Whenever I hear about suicide, if it's a close friend or someone I admire, because I had not, if I met him in person, I would remember. But in recent years, I've networked with him online. And he seemed like a perfect gentleman and very fun to network with. But, you know, I'm just wondering, whenever I hear of a friend or someone like him, a big-time celebrity committing suicide, I always wonder what we could have, should have, would have, could have done, you know? I'm, like, thinking, like, wow, what could we have done? Isn't it something? Somebody's seen something, you know. Sometimes signs are obvious, but it's not like it's not even, obvious with him, you know. Because even with some of my friends, even with a few friends of mine who've committed suicide, you would think that they would have like the depression or seem sad. But I've had a couple of friends who've committed suicide; they were the opposite, and really caught us off guard, you know.
Well, I think what happens is that, unfortunately, in the entertainment world, and even the business world, when you have a lot of pressures and responsibilities on you,
yeah,
if your foundation is not strong with regards to any, without being biased to anything, any belief system, if you don't have that, you need to get it. But, you know, whether it's a church, a temple, a synagogue, a mosque, get that. Because if you don't have a connection with something, then you're prone to fall for anything.
Exactly. You're talking about God. You're talking about higher power, Allah, God. It's important to go to people, but it sounds like you're talking about also you have to be spiritual.
Yeah, you have to have a spiritual, because if you're dealing with money all day, you have to realize at the end of the day, money is not God. Money, you can't take money, and you can't take people with you when you die.
Good point.
Because at the end of the day, we will all be buried separately.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have to have some sort of spiritual foundation, so that when we have issues or whatnot, there's something that we can fall back on to help us resolve whatever our issues are.
Wow. Yeah, that's why when you and I were talking about this topic last night, like, you know, you don't know what people are going through regardless of how it looks. You might think somebody's going through something bad and they're really living in the best, having the best time of their life. And then you might think, oh, man, I feel so sorry for that person. And then that person might say, well, why are you so sorry for me? I'm having a blast. You know, and then the people that we think are just, you know, some people, I don't know. It's back to what you were saying. He had a big real estate deal recently, and he's a good-looking guy, but he might have been still heartbroken from his ex-wife. I don't know. We don't know. You know, you would think he wouldn't have any problem getting a new love, but we don't know. We don't know what's going on. Wow. So, but it was another executive also committed suicide. Oh, he was another favorite of mine. His name's on the tip of my tongue. That committed suicide. Did you say where you were calling from?
Atlanta.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't want to blurt you out again if you hadn't told me. But calling from your based in your city. What was the executive? He committed suicide like 2 years ago, and he was
It was Shakir Stewart.
Yes, and he worked with
Latifah and various other artists.
Exactly, he worked with her company, that caught me by surprise too. I just could not believe it.
And he's a young man. He's a young man, and so then that's why, especially for black males from teenagers to middle age, it's extremely important. And it's not stressed enough amongst us in various forms, but we have to have or gain some sort of spiritual foundation. Here, we've had now Chris Leidy. We had the professional football player a couple of months ago, Junior Seau. We've had various athletes, you know, kill themselves over the last few years, and it's starting to it's an epidemic. It's coming to light now because celebrities, people in the limelight, are doing it. But every day, there's a young black male, a middle-aged black male, an older black male. We had Don Cornelius earlier this year.
Oh, yes. Devastating.
And that's why I can't stress it enough. We have to return back to our roots. We're our foundation. You know, so whether it's whatever your inclination is, please turn to it. You know, talk to counselors. Don't be afraid to reach out. And it's something about us as a people. We've been kind of stubborn with regards to our issues. We tend to keep things to ourselves, and you know, and eventually it comes to a head, and then something, unfortunately, tragic winds up happening. If we don't affect somebody else, then we wind up affecting ourselves as well as other people. So we have to do a much better job teaching young black males as well as young black females and the rest of our community, that it is okay to reach out. It is okay to talk about our issues.
It is. And you feel better. After you and I talked last night, I felt better, and I bet that you felt better too. It just felt good to talk about the topic, talk about Chris Leidy, talk about this topic. And then it's like you were saying, if you feel like something's bottled up in you, and then if you don't write it down, type it in your computer, you know, write it down. And if you consider yourself, well, I'm not a writer, I'm not a poet, it doesn't matter. Just vent and write it down, pen and paper, pencil and paper. Write down your thoughts. If you don't want to keep it around, you don't want anybody else to see it, tear it up. But express it to someone. I mean, express it on pen and paper. Pray over it. Pray to God about your thoughts and what you're feeling. You know, but if you don't want anybody to see what you've written, but that's a way of getting it out of your system also and not causing any harm to yourself if that's what's in your thoughts.
You're absolutely right. But I really appreciate the opportunity to say a few words, and you know, I wish you the very best of success. I can't tell you how much I really appreciate this. Thank you so much.
I really appreciate you, and thank you. And my apologies for the delay in beginning the show. But I really thank you and appreciate you, too. That's why I was like, wow, please call in if you can. And tell us more about you also, and if you would like people to contact you. And, you know.
Well, I'm Jabril Sankofa, and that's Jabril with a D, D-J-I-B-R-I-L, Sankofa, S-A-N-K-O-F-A. I'm on Facebook. You know, if you just want to friend me and talk, not a problem. I'm always available. And I'm a connoisseur of music, especially hip-hop music, older hip hop music.
Because I'm sure a lot of listeners, by the way you talk, a lot of listeners want to know if you are in the industry. Are you? You
no,
love
I'm not,
the music.
I'm not in the industry, but I love the music. I've been listening to the music since I was 8 years old. And
yeah.
I was a DJ at one time, so now I'm just a staunch listener.
Exactly. I thought you were a DJ. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your DJing days. And I'm sure you listening to your music, you're still DJing when you're jamming, listening to your music.
And I would just say be on the lookout for Perfect Man Entertainment.
Great, Perfect Man Entertainment. Great, because I almost asked you earlier today to email me a couple of tracks or a snippet of your music, but there's more time for that. Perfect Man Entertainment. That sounds great. And how did you get the name Perfect Man Entertainment?
Well, we strive to be perfect people, and especially in the world that we live in. I think for especially African American males, we need something more positive to shoot for with regards to labels and whatnot. And we don't do music, but we do film, and we also do travel and whatnot.
That's good. That's what I want to know. What facets do you cover? So film and travel.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that sounds good. We definitely want to know more and keep us updated and informed, and let us know when websites and other information available.
Okay.
Yeah. I knew you had a lot of news of your own to share also.
I'm still absorbing Chris Lighty's his passing. It's not the end of an era, but it feels like it's the end of an era.
It sure does. And P. Diddy and Mariah Carey, and Mariah Carey, he's like her current manager. And P. Diddy and Mariah, they, you know, expressed devastation the other day when the news broke on their Twitter pages. A lot of celebrities, but especially the artists who he currently manages and rep, you know, that completely caught them off guard, because you would think, you know, he's close to some of his artists. You know, he can talk intimate with some of his artists. And they're thinking, oh my God, you know.
I can't even imagine how they must feel right now.
Yeah, because I'm about to start crying. Honestly, I don't want to be boohooing over the air, but yeah, because I'm just imagining how they feel.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. I mean, having him as a close friend. I mean, we're talking about somebody who's been involved in the industry, in the music, not just the industry, but the music, for well over 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we're talking about somebody who started holding crates, holding records for DJ Red Alert. That time frame, I mean, his connection with the origin of hip-hop is tremendous. I mean, because he's right there at Red Alert, who's right there with Afrika Bambaataa and Kool Herc.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so you have a direct line between him and the origins of hip-hop, and to see him cover that from its origins in the Bronx, New York, to dealing with 50 Cent, to dealing with artists out on the West Coast, That's tremendous. That's tremendous.
Most definitely.
We might not have been able to have helped him in life, but we could at least continue his work in his past.
Yes. Yep, yes, and talk about his history like we're doing now. Because, you and I have followed his career from the beginning. But some people just know, Chris Light is a hip-hop mogul, But he came from the underground, And like in the bio that I read, he did not go to college. He said he got his MBA from hell. From actually living on, being from the street. And, he was just self-taught and just out there.
You're absolutely right. I mean, it just goes to show that no matter what your situation is in life, you can rise up. And that's what makes this so tragic. No matter what your situation is, you can rise up.
Yeah. You can rise up. The American dream still is alive. And Chris Lighty, we don't know what he committed suicide from, but he definitely proved and showed to us that you can rise up. And he most definitely influenced the artists that he worked with, too. Hey, you can do this.
Yes, he did.
Wow, that's something. Someone who encourages others and then turn around and then that happens. Someone who motivates others and encourage others. Because you mentioned Fat Joe. It's probably many artists he has talked out of suicide.
I'm sure.
Wow. Wow, this is deep. We're heartbroken and sad, so some of you are not digging it, and you're just not digging it. It's a loss of life, Wow. And like we said before, if you don't know his name, you, 9 times out of 10, love the artist that he worked with music. And he's an important part of their lives. 50 Cent, I know he's just going crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. But I know it kind of leaves us kind of speechless. We talk a lot about it. Then when you think about it, it's like, wow. But you bring up a good point about not just suicide, but black males. And we can't ignore it. We can't ignore suicide, period, but then you have to really look at it, at our men, our black men.
Yeah, it's a phenomenon, really.
Everybody, but it's a good point that you brought up about the age groups and from the young athletes to the senior citizens like Don Cornelius,
Yeah, we just had a young running back last month. My goodness, I can't think of the young man's name. Yes, ma'am. It was a young running back with the Tennessee Titans. He killed himself.
Yeah, I can't think of his name either, but he killed himself in Jacksonville, didn't he? In like a high school parking lot.
Yes, yes.
In his car. Played 1 year football. Why? One of his coaches said he had just talked to him like the day before.
Yes.
And I assume he didn't show any signs in his discussion with I think the coach said he called him and he thanked him for like all the things he had done, But, I mean, that doesn't give you, you know, that didn't give the coach reason to think, oh, he's getting ready to kill himself, you know?
Well, you have to wonder if that came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, if that, you know, when he thanked him, did the comment come from out of nowhere? Were there signs that were being exhibited? I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's hindsight now, but I mean, we have to constantly be observant and be aware, you know, of our loved ones and the people we come in contact with, and, you know, look for, you know, mood swings or changes in behavior.
Yeah, you're right.
We have to make sure that we're looking out for each other as much as possible.
And I think one sign that I've heard about is if a person starts like giving away like cherished belongings. I mean, a lot of people are givers, not to give people things, but if a person is giving away like things that are real personal, you know, that people don't usually give away.
Right.
I think that's like a telltale sign too. Like, wait a second. What's going on here? Yeah, this is serious. This is a serious epidemic. I think you called it an epidemic. This is a serious epidemic right here. We talk about homicides, and homicide is bad in our community, but suicide. And you made up a – I don't know if you consciously knew – I think you did consciously knew what you were saying about 15 minutes ago when you mentioned about the celebrities and these high-profile suicides. And see, non-celebrities and everyday people commit suicide every day now, but what's scary is I'm kind of like freaking out because I'm hoping that people – more suicides don't happen because – of people that people look up to, say, well, if Chris Lighty did it, I can do it. You know? You know what I'm saying? Don Cornelius escaped, killed himself, then I'll take that route too. Because we tend to imitate our favorite celebrities. And I just don't want to see our statistics change in that regard, either.
Well, I think the main thing is that, you know, in the wake of this, and as well as you know, the untimely deaths of, you know, other high profile celebrities, we have to just make sure that we are constantly engaged with our young people, our friends, our family, our communities. You know, about issues such as depression,
mm-hmm.
issues such as our mental health. This is something that we don't like to talk about in the Black community. This is something we tend to skim over. Taboo subject.
Yeah.
But we have to start talking about these issues. You know, if not, you know, we stand, you know, the risk of losing more people.
That's true. Because some people think, well, if you're talking about it, then you're fueling it. But no, we're talking about it, and we're talking about solutions and talking about signs and how people can seek help.
I mean, just to show how things change, when I was coming up, it was extremely rare to hear of an African-American committing suicide. It happened.
Exactly.
But not with this type of regularity. I mean, when I was young growing up, I remember when Donny Hathaway jumped from the window. That was a big thing because we rarely did that. But now those things that we rarely did, we're doing it, and we're doing it with regularity. So we have to start prying. What are the root causes for these things? What's happening with us?
Yeah. you're right, because I hear people say black people don't commit suicide. And even up until recently, I've heard people, like, until a lot of celebrities start committing suicide, and also a lot of just people that are, I guess, people, regular friends, loved ones start committing suicide. But you're right. Up until recently, I've heard people say black people don't commit suicide. Like, well, you must have not seen the statistics.
Right.
And I've had friends of all color, commit suicide from my childhood to now. And I'm like you, I'm the same age as Chris Lighty. And I've had friends of all ages, all races, male, female, commit suicide. And I sound like you have too. But you're right. It is, I guess, the black number of suicide rate had not been this high. I guess I love research, and I need to research more about the statistics regarding suicide in different groups. But what you just mentioned, I'm sure the suicide rate is much higher than it was 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 10 years ago. Mono, gunshot. Huh? Excuse me, did you hear those gunshots?
No, ma'am.
I mean, in my neighborhood, outside my house. My mother's calling my name. We just heard, I'm letting you all know over the air, there are gunshots outside my house. And that's not a norm. My mother's calling me, too. I'm not hanging up. Getting off the air. Mother. Wasn't no gunshot? Yeah. Yes. Because I'm not getting on the air. You all need to know what's going on.
Are you guys okay?
I hope so. Three loud gunshots right outside. And I don't hear my dogs. I hope they're in their doghouses. I have three pooches, and they're not saying a word. And I heard three gunshots. I hope nobody's out there shooting my dog. I don't know. It's three gunshots. Maybe it's a neighbor just shooting in the air. We're talking about crime, and then there's like, okay. I'm serious. This is something. I thought you heard the gunshots, too, but they were loud.
No, I couldn't hear them.
I know. And my mom, too. Wow, my mom's in another room, and she's like, I thought you all heard it, too. And I'm like, well, should I say something or not? We're live on air. I'm like, I should say something, ask you if you hear it. But I'm not going looking out the window or looking at the door. I'm like you. And I don't hear my dogs barking. Unless they're in fear and in their houses. I know. But we'll continue on. We'll continue on. I am in the chat room also. Ebony Empress, if you would like to make a comment, signify and let me know if you're listening or you're going to make a comment. We do have more than 20 minutes. One of the hosts of Real Talk here on blogtalkradio.com is on the air also. I mean, online listening. She's in the UK. And I know in the UK it's in the middle of the night. On the phone? Hello?
Yes.
Okay, what was that?
I just got out of my car.
Oh. Oh, you were driving and talking with us.
I'm sorry?
You were driving and talking with us.
No, I had pulled over. Pulled over for the past hour.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess it was a neighbor just shooting in the air. I don't know. Some relatives have been over here. I hope it's not any of my relatives outside shooting. Wow.
It might have been for Labor Day or something.
Oh. Maybe you think I should play a song and go and peep out? You think I should play a song and then peep out? I know.
We would know something by now,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's probably somebody shooting in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, Ebony Empress is in the chat room chatting with me. She has an interesting show here on Blog Talk Radio called Real Talk, just based on relationships. Sound like you can talk about that too, that topic. Oh, but wow. I know, you and I, we talk on the topic that we're talking about, and then we become silent. Like we're really digesting this information. And I know listeners are also. But I thank you so much for calling.
Oh, thank you for the invitation. I'm just glad to be able to share.
You provided a lot. Is there anything more you would like to share before we conclude? We still have 20 minutes, and then we could go on probably a little longer. I can go over sometimes.
Unfortunately, I'm gonna have to drop off. But the only thing I would want to share is that, you know, in the wake of this, is that I hope people talk more. I hope people communicate more. You know, whether it's the young with the young, or the young with the old, or the young with the middle age, and the middle age with the old, we have to talk more about depression and whatever other issues that we're dealing with, so we can, you know, if not get rid of suicide, at least, you know, minimize it.
Yes, so true. And I'm a big proponent in intergenerational friendships. And like you were saying, the young and the young, or the old and old, it's good for different ages to talk. So I think you're the same way. I have friends of all ages. And it's just amazing when you talk to people of different ages. And I love talking to my friends in their 80s, 90s, 60s, 70s, 50s, to 40s like me, and also younger friends. It's important for us to exchange information. It's amazing what we learn from one another.
Especially when you consider that, you know, you might think that your situation is unique, and then you might find that, oh, grandpa went through that, or grandma went through that, or my uncle went through that, or, you know, my dad's friend went through that. So you find that your quote-unquote unique situation isn't so unique, and there are solutions to it.
Yes. And that's true. Ebony Empress would like to say hello to you. I know you have to go. She hosts a show here on blogtalkradio.com, also called Real Talk, and she's in England. She's a native of Jamaica, but she lives in England, and she's impressed with all the information that you shared, so she would like to say hello to you and the listening audience for just a few minutes, because we know you need to go, but she would like to say hello to you. I'm talking to her in the chat room. Do you have a minute or two?
Hi, Ebony.
Okay, let me put her on. Okay.
Hi.
Hello, Ebony from UK.
Hi.
Hi,
how are you?
Doing great.
Good. I'm a bit tired, but I'm up. So I thought, let me just listen in to your show. You know, I love your show anyway. So I tried
you
to
know how
I
love the show because you talk about relationships, and I love it. But I would like for you to introduce yourself to my guests and vice versa.
Oh, hi. Well, I'm Ebony Empress, and I do a show on relationships, and really, I've only been doing it since June this year, so I'm a baby in blog talk terms. But it's been fun. It's been such fun. And I've been listening to you tonight. I think, you know, what you've been saying, there's so much wisdom there. You know, I think over here, I probably didn't know. I know the artist, but I'm not a really big fan of hip hop in that I look at the people who may be behind the artists that we see. Although Mariah is, you know, I love Mariah and people like that, and 50 Cent. But you know, it's just very sad. It's all very sad. And you know, if you work so hard to achieve something and to get up there and to achieve your goals, and then it ends that way, it's just devastating. Even if you never knew the person, you just think, did someone not know he was that low? You know, what could we have done to stop it? And it's just all too late. It's too late. So it's sad. You guys still there?
You're absolutely right. You know, it's ironic. You know, not just Chris, but artists that he was influenced by, artists that were like his older brothers. You know, they had an influence actually in the early evolution of the UK's rap genre. I remember when I first started listening to UK rap, it was like 1986, and I used to listen to Daddy Freddy.
Oh yeah.
And there was a rapper by the name of Derek B.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That's going way back. That's going back.
Guys like Red Alert, and the Violators, yeah. they had an influence upon those artists.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's unfortunate that, you know, that this happened. And, you know, you wish there could have been another way, but, you know, perhaps with this tragedy, you know, there might be a success. You know, somebody might learn from this and decide to choose a more positive option.
Well, that's what we hope. That's what we hope. And I think it doesn't matter whether you're famous or you're not famous. You know, there's going to be times when people get very, very low. And, you know, and it's the options that we think about at that time when, you know, to deal with where we are, you know. And if you have more options in your mind and more support sometimes, because we assume people are strong because maybe they are famous and, you know, they seem to have a lot of people around them. You know, you can have a hell of a lot of people in your life and still be very lonely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I've been there, done that.
Yeah.
And honestly, I know from experience, and I've had a relationship with God since I was born being Christian when I was 14, and I've been exposed to Islam. And Islam really, being exposed to Islam brought a lot of peace in my life also, I must admit. But it goes back to what's been said, God, finding that inner peace that God, and you're right. I know firsthand how it feels to
feel lonely even when you have in the midst of a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, it all depends on you and how you feel on the inside. I haven't been suicidal, but I can understand mm-hmm. what drives people to suicide.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I think it's great that you guys are having this conversation because I think, you know, the more that we, you know, conversation is good because the more that we open ourselves up to areas that have almost become taboo because we don't want to talk about it because until it happens. Nobody really wants to talk about it until it happens. And I think we need to talk about it because it will happen. You know, it will happen tomorrow. It will happen again. You know, he's famous and he's in the public eye, but it's happening every day. It's happening. Yeah, it's just that we're not as aware because he's not a big figure. It's not someone that's out there, but it's happening all the time. So, you know, it's something as a community we need to address anyway and keep supporting each other to you know, stay strong and to recognize our spiritual worth and, you know, and what we bring. Because, you know, if we can all look at it and say, look at how much, you know, you've done, you're a legend, whatever. Did he really believe that himself? You know, did he really believe in what he was doing or had he, you know, and I think if he did what he did, somehow he lost the plot where in terms of really knowing who he was and where he was going with the whole thing. And maybe it just became too much. We don't know, but something wasn't right. You know, for him. But, you know, maybe he just decided, you know what, it's time that I've done what I need to do and really I'm not happy right now and I'm not here. You know, I want to be out of here. And it's a sad way to go. And people don't really think when they do that, the devastation. And I've been there with friends who have done it and they don't realize the devastation do you leave behind, but do you really care when you're in that place? It is one of those. So we have to keep supporting each other by having conversations and you know, just reaching out to people because we are, as a society, we've become very, very self, you know, orientated almost. And everybody thinks, you know, they're a little island. We don't do as much family and neighborhood stuff as we used to. And we need to do more of that, really look after each other.
It's so true. I
think you touched on something very key, you know, because now we live in a world where you don't necessarily have personal contact with you know, take for example, Facebook, and you might have 5,000 friends, but do you actually
know anybody? Do you know any of them?
you know, it's easy to poke somebody on Facebook, but what is a poke? I've been trying to get some clarification of that. What does that mean? I've been poked. You know, so everything becomes vicarious, you know, so to speak.
Absolutely.
And we have to recognize that the world is more than just technology, it's more than just social media. This world is personable. Man was not meant to be an island. Man and woman was not meant to be an island. We were meant to, you know, exchange with each other. We were meant to relate with one another. And when you have issues or things that need to be brought to a resolve, it shouldn't have to be done alone. It should be something that you can, you know, easily reach out to someone and, you know, who can help you bring those issues to a resolve.
Well, you know, it's learning, and I think, you know, we have to just keep learning. But, you know, it is very sad. He was still a young person, and, you know, and someone who's in his age group, I think, he was so young, you know, had so much to still give. But, you know, he made a choice, and we just have to hope that someone learns from that. We all learn anyway.
Reach out to your own and offline friends and to your listeners and Pretty Man Entertainment. Reach out to your or to the people that you do business with and your clients and. You know,
I'm coming. That's the reason why I'm coming to the States. I'm coming to the States on. I'm going to the States in October. Beginning of October, I will be in Miami. So I'm coming to Miami and hopefully going to be meeting some of the people who I've been working with online. So that's part of my journey, just to reach out to some people who support the show that I do. And who I've been talking to since just June, and it feels like forever, but it's just been June.
You're having a similar experience that I have been having since day one. I premiered in March 2011, and it's been a blast since day one.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you have been having a blast since day one also.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, I started off with, like, no idea that anybody would even listen or be interested. And you know, the topics that I've put up are really just things that bother me or things that come to me and I think, wow, I need to share this with somebody and have a conversation. So my last show I did, I don't know if you saw it, but the last one was 75% of women fake orgasms. Really?
I hadn't missed that show.
Check it out. It was such fun.
That's something that we have discussed on my Wednesday show in regards to matters of the heart and relationships, but the statistics amazed me. And I even found out, you folks are focused on women, but I was even found out through my research that men fake orgasms.
How do men fake it? I don't get
I know.
How would a man fake it? Because I think it's so much easier. Although I have a friend at work, and I did share this on the show. I'm sorry for your guest. Remind me of his name, because I'm sort of speaking into, I don't want to not be calling your name. Is he still there, your guest?
Jibril.
Yes.
Jibril. So Jibril, I don't know if men can really fake it, but a friend at work, he told me in my day job, he told me that he was dating a girl, well, he had a one-night stand with this woman, and she was so unattractive. He was far away from home. He didn't want to have to go home, so he didn't want to upset her. So he made love to her, but he said, nothing was happening for him. He really, really couldn't make it work. So he got up and made an excuse to go get a drink of water, and he said he found some warm yogurt, and he brought it back and put it on her back. And he said it just made it, and she went to sleep thinking, oh, yeah, you know, he had this orgasm. He said he didn't have anything. He was just like, I couldn't do it. I was like, no, I don't believe you. I'm sure you're lying.
It's like the men, Mag, you know, just like Cosmopolitan and Playgirl and Mag share information with us. Ask men, Mag,
the only thing I would say is that any emotion that a woman can feel, a man can feel.
Because men are human too, right?
But do you think, Gabriel, do you know any men who would admit to faking it?
In their own circles, but never in public.
And are you telling me those women never knew? Because, like, I don't know if I could say that you could get away with it like women could get away with it. Because, I mean, women have always faked it, I think. So it's almost well-known amongst women that happens.
Honestly, I've never faked an orgasm. And I'm baffled. I'm baffled. You have?
Never.
I've never faked an orgasm. And I'm freaking out when I hear women that fake orgasm. I freak out when I hear women that say they never had an orgasm. I'm like, what?
I think what happens is that people express disinterest in different ways.
Yeah.
You know, okay. So whereas some people might detach themselves from the actual act, from the whole act, by they'll do that by just committing the physical act.
Yeah.
Physical act, and then they can go ahead and divorce themselves from the emotional act.
Yeah. Some people keep it separate.
And then sometimes what some people might perceive to be, especially amongst women, some women might see a man as being sexually inadequate, but it might not be that he's sexually inadequate. It might be that he's having a hard time expressing interest.
Exactly. Or not wanting to be rejected. And then they could have a body image situation. You know, they might feel like insecure in regards to parts of their body.
I mean, that's just, when you're talking about the sexual act, that's an act that's not, at least the way I look at it, it's not an act that's supposed to be done that's in compartmentalized phases. It's supposed to be a whole act. It's mind, body, and spirit.
Oh, yes. Preach, brother. I agree with you.
Yeah.
So I think what happens a lot of times when we're talking about faking it or whatnot, somehow, some way, mind, body, and spirit have become disjointed.
Yeah.
So you might just have
connection.
Mind and body, or you might just have spirit, or you might just have body.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, my live stream is going to stop in 30 minutes, but I will be able to continue on. So I just want to let you all know that. I don't believe we'll be cut off, but I just want to let you all know that the streaming will discontinue in 20 seconds, but we'll still be on the air and listening. We'll be still listening. Okay.
Well, ladies, I'm going to have to go ahead and drop off. I really appreciate the opportunity to share. I hope to be able to talk with you guys again.
Hey,
oh, yes.
Connect me on Facebook. Are you on Facebook?
Yes, I am. I just became friends with Beth.
Okay.
And I'm Jabril. I spell that with a D. D-J-I-B.
Okay.
R-I-L. Sankofa. S-A-N-K-O-F-A.
The best thing to do is to just connect it. I've got a page, Ebony Empress. If you message me on there, then I'll connect you and add you in and as a friend. So if you go to my page, it's called Ebony Empress. So it's very simple.
Okay, my dog's okay. They're barking now. can you? So my dog's okay. They've been quiet. I don't blame them, though. No. I've been quiet, too. Spell your Facebook again.
Ebony?
For listeners.
Oh, it's Ebony, E-B-O-N-Y, Empress, E-M-P-R-E-S-S. So your guest can do his as well.
Okay. Jabril. You too,
yes,
Emily.
Ma'am.
Jabril. Does he have to go? Oh, spell your Facebook name again.
D as in David, J Jason, I-B, R-I-L, Sankofa, S-A-N-K-O-F-A.
Okay, D-J-I-B-R-I-L.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And the last name is Sankofa, S-A-N-K-O-F-A.
Okay, D-J-I-B-R-I-L. Then his last name is Sankofa, S-A-N-K-O-F-A. That's how you can connect with Jabril at Sankofa and look out for his entertainment company. Sound like along with a couple friends. You alone or a couple friends?
It's one other gentleman.
Okay.
And I've been working with him for a few years.
Okay. He and one of his friends, longtime friends, have an entertainment company by the name of Pretty Man Entertainment, which Perfect Man Entertainment, and you focus on travel and film, and we talk a lot about film, a lot of film. You must come back and definitely talk about travel and talk about film projects, because that is something that's near and dear and close. As a matter of fact, I plan on talking about a lot of film topics tonight, but this is very important, so we'll talk about films next week. Of course, I talked about seeing The Bourne Legacy, but more independent film. It's important for us to spread the word regarding festivals and independent filmmaking all around the world. Because Ebony Empress, Kelly Cortez, if you're not Facebook friends with her, you should be Facebook friends with her, with Pilly Cortez in the UK.
Okay.
And like her fan page, Woho Films.
Woho Fan, of course.
Film.
Okay.
And but her name is Pilly Cortez, PilliCortese.
Okay.
She's right there in UK, in England. She travels a lot to Belgium, but she just left the hospital. She had surgery this week, but she always working on a lot of awesome film projects. One film that she has produced is called Waves. And I profiled the film about a month and a half ago. But, yeah, you two should definitely see it.
Oh, I should, definitely.
Yeah. but thank you so much, Jabril. Are you still on?
Thank you.
You two connect, because all about us effectively networking with one another.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to speak to you.
So you're still on, right, Ebony? Because we can't, we,
yeah,
we'll talk. But thank you. We don't want to, we don't want to, yeah, want you to be late for whatever's next.
Thank you both. I hope you both have a great weekend.
I'm sure the listeners all also thank you also, because you have shared the wealth of insight and information. And our listeners have learned a lot about Chris Lighty, so I guess they will be researching and also pulling out a lot of the, especially the old school information that was shared also. But I guess we should take a moment of silence before you leave us. For Chris Lighty and also for those that's battling with suicide. So let me be honest. We'll let you go.
Take care.
Take care, bye.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you. And we're talking to you on Facebook. Hello?
Yeah, hi. He's gone. I think he's gone.
Okay, so what's been going on with you? Thank you so much.
Oh.
And thank you, listening audience, for tuning in and listening. So what's going on with you in the UK?
Oh, we've got Paralympics here. So the main Olympics have gone and the Paralympics have started here. So this weekend... Yeah,
I see. I see one of my friends, Carl Perkins, who you see a lot of posters on my wall, a friend of mine in the UK. I think he's at one of the events this evening, and he posted, pictures.
Okay.
Yeah, posted pictures on my wall. Some people might think it's in the UK, because Carl posts so much informative information on my wall. Shout out to Carl. Shout out to Peely, too. Get well soon, Peely.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I love my UK friends. I can't wait to travel there. I don't know when, but I can travel there. But I'm looking forward to you coming to Miami. Not far from Miami.
No, is it far where you are, or is it not that far?
I haven't been to Miami in a long time, so I don't know.
They got a carnival, haven't they, on the 7th?
Yeah, cause I had hoped to travel there this year. But I don't know, maybe I need to look at some deals or something. When you get to be there. Yeah,
come down. I'm going the carnival. There's a carnival on the 7th in Miami, and so I really want to be there for the carnival. But it's my friend's birthday 2 days before. And then when I've done those, I'm just going to hang out and meet people until I leave. I'm going to be there for 7 nights. So, yeah.
That sounds like fun.
Oh, yeah. You know, sometimes you just need a break. So I've decided, you know what? Life's too short. Take a rest. chill out and meet some people and have fun and come back to the work later. It'll still be here when I get back. So, yeah, it's going to be great doing something different for a while. And I've never been to the States before, so it'll be my first time in the States. I'm really looking forward to it.
What state did you live in? Hold on. What state did you live in?
Oh, I've never been before. I've never been to the U.S. before. It'll be my first time.
Because I know you had not told me that. I thought you had said I lived in the States before.
No. Never lived in the States before.
Yeah, I was about to say, well, you didn't tell me that part.
No. I've never lived in the States. It'll be my first visit to the U.S. So I'm just looking forward to it. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You might come here and not want to go back. Just like I believe when I come to the U.K., I'm not going to want to come back.
Yeah. I had a friend that came.
I have always had a love for England. Always. And when I went from Fashion Fair more than 20 years ago, I was offered to come to England in London and train. But yeah. I said no. I turned it down. And I know I already regret, but then in hindsight, I'm thinking, wow, I should have taken that gig. I was in school and had other things planned. And so I was like, I'll get to England soon. I still ain't got to England. So I will be there soon, I know. I know I'll travel there soon. My thing is, I always wanted to have, like, fashion boutiques, like, here in the States and in England. I don't see my I design also, or see my clothes over there in Harrods or somewhere, you know?
Well, you know, you're very talented. You're very talented. And you should come and catch up with your UK friends, yeah.
One of my favorite, she travels to Paris and London all the time. And one of my cousins, she always comes on holiday to London and Paris. But I think she's planning on traveling to Paris, but she's thinking about coming to London. But I don't plan to tag along with her this go around, but maybe next go around.
Oh, that'd be great. Just let us know when you're coming so we can look after you. No, it'll be fun. You will love London. It's not that much different from New York, actually. I hear that it's very similar. That's what my friends say who live in New York.
Cool. What's similar to New York?
Well, I've got friends who live in New York who used to live in London, and they say New York is very similar to London.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends too that have lived in both places, and I guess that's why they love both places, because they're similar.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good point.
Yeah, it's true. But yeah. Beth, I'm gonna go because you know what? I'm really tired now. And I just got up and I was out today, then I got in early, fell asleep early, woke up, and you know when you get that wake up feeling where you think, actually I'm not really that tired, but I'll hang out for a little bit. So I thought I'll come on Blog Talk and see who's on, and I saw you were on, and I was like, wow, that's good, I can catch a show.
I do Saturday nights at 8 p.m. I'm like, Saturdays are flexible though. I used to do it at 5:30 a.m. but then when I book artists and producers cannot do early morning.
Okay.
Artists and producers, they after 10 a.m., but many prefer evening time. And then, wow. But, you know, also expressive, I have a very strong international listening audience. It's like you do. You have a lot of Americans and other countries listening to your show.
I sometimes
think about, okay, my England listeners and my Australia listeners and my Italian listeners and my Turkish listeners, I try to figure out what the time zones are, you know?
It's hard to fit in with everybody.
But you have a good time because you're at nighttime, but then it's like in the late afternoon here.
Yeah, the show on Tuesday works well from our time, but I think what happens is it's 10 in the night here and it's 5 p.m. your time. But the problem is that when it's probably one of the most congested times for Blog Talk. So what we find is the first hour is always really good for broadcasting, but the second hour we always have problems. So So, you know, it's one of those. I don't know how, why it happens, but every week I get problems with sound control. On the, you know, like we get thrown off and stuff on the second half. But trying to work with Blog Talk to resolve those issues, I don't know why it happens. I don't know if it's just that. Yeah.
Those are Prime. You see, I just upgraded to Prime to Premium. And so, you know, the Prime Time hours, too, that's when a lot of shows are broadcasting during Prime Time hours. So I'm not a rocket scientist, but I'm just guessing that has something to do with that Prime Time traffic, just like with television.
It is. Yes, it's Prime Time traffic. It is.
Yeah. Just like in traffic on a highway.
Yes.
That 5 o'clock traffic.
It is, but it's great to be out there and to put something out. And I just keep doing it.
I feel you.
Yeah, but.
I feel you too. But I was out today too, and I'm like, and I had to rush in. I'm so glad I made it in an hour before time. But for some reason, I started late, and I was out. I had a class at a music store regarding software. You all have guitar centers.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, so they have like the software class, recording class. And so I got up early and went to that class and then did some other things and caught the movie, The Bourne Legacy. And it was pretty intriguing to me.
Wow.
Yeah, so and then and other things. And you know, I'm in one of those states where the Hurricane Isaac caused havoc. So all week we've been like under all type of warnings and people evacuating, coming to my city, and then also the city that I'm in was a state of emergency, you know. So Isaac has finally left, but it's other like tropical storms out there. So everybody, it's normal, but it's what around 3 a.m. there.
It's 4:15 in the morning.
Okay.
So I'm going to go back to sleep because tomorrow I'm going to be recording a show in the afternoon. So
okay,
I'm going to go back
time?
To sleep now. I'm recording a show at 2 to 4 p.m. in the afternoon UK time, which is about 7 o'clock in the morning your time.
So it's
7 to about 9 your time, I'd say. We finished 9. But it's a new show. It's called Can We Talk? And it's with it's a ladies' sort of conversation, just really talking about women's perspectives on career, family, you know, all kinds of issues, but from a woman's perspective about women's issues mainly. But, you know, men will listen in and they can hear what women think about things, and we will have men on as well, but it really is going to be can we talk from a woman's perspective? Yeah.
Okay, I will be up. I had thought I would be going to church tomorrow morning around that time, but I have not. I need to roller set my hair, and I'm exhausted. So, but
okay.
I know I will be up because I'm an early bird.
Yeah, but
so
it's not on Blog Talk.
Well, I know I'll listen in. I might call in, but I know I'll listen.
Okay, but just to tell you.
I think I'll call in if it's just to say hi.
Yeah. But just to say, it's not on Blog Talk. It's not on Blog Talk Radio. It's on a new network. It's on www.tropicalfm.com. So it's on Tropical, T-R-O-P-I-C-A-L, Tropical.
Just like Tropical.
The
word Tropical.
Yes. FM .com.
FM?
FM. So F for Freddy, M for Mother. FM .com. And
okay, so I log into tropicalfm.com.
Oh, yeah, and you should see us on the network. Hopefully they'll be ready tomorrow because we should be on. We'll be on tomorrow. But just log on between 2 to 4 p.m., or it will be 7 to 9 p.m. in Eastern time. 9 a.m., sorry. 7 a.m. to 9 a.m.
It'll be 7 a.m. for me, right?
That's right. 7 a.m. in the morning for you. Yeah.
Okay, when I visit Tropical FM, what's the name of your show, the show that you'll be on?
So the show we're on is Can We Talk? It's
okay,
called Can We Talk UK.
So,
yeah.
So listeners and I, because my listeners are listening too, they want to listen. So we're going to log into tropicalfm.com and we're going to look for Can We Talk?
Yes.
Okay.
And
now,
the ladies will be talking.
Okay, so I'm going to log into that. Is it a call-in number too or is chat?
Yeah, there's a call-in number. There's a UK call-in number. And you can go into a chat. There's a chat room as well, like we have on Blog Talk. So, you can use a chat room. But when I'm online, I will give out the numbers, because if you're in the US, you might want to Skype in, because it will be cheaper than you trying to ring a UK number.
Okay. You know, I can be located also on Springer.com. I have another show, internet show too.
Okay.
Springer.com. Springer.com.
Okay.
And it's / pretty much the same information, really. It's Culture Shock, Inc., like here on Blog Talk Radio, but it's hyphen B.TRU.
Okay.
So it's almost like Blog Talk Radio, but it says Culture Shock, it's Springer.com/
Culture Shock. ENT.
Yeah, KULTRE. SHOKENT hyphen, then it's B.TRU, TRU. B.TRU is a pen name of mine. It's a DJ name, stage name of mine. But use B.TRU. But then also, when you see the channel, you will see Beth, like with blogtalkradio.com, but you'll see my real last name too. You'll see Coastal Shot Inc., Beth Williams, but not spelled WMS.
Okay.
Yeah, so
I'm going to look it up. Definitely. So when do you do that one? When do you do that show?
I pretty much do that show anytime I feel like it. I try to do it, especially on Sundays. I try to do it on Sunday. I'm going to do a show on tomorrow. Sometimes I do podcasts, and sometimes I do it live. But sometimes they're just commentary, but sometimes they're music and entertainment news. So I think I will do one tomorrow. I'm not sure if it'll be live or podcast. I like to do live. I love live.
Okay.
Yeah, but
live is good.
If I come, you can do the quick podcast, and then it's out there.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah, but I'll let you know. Yeah.
Let me know when you're on so that I can check it out.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, honey. But look, I will be gone. But great show. Great show. I actually found that very insightful.
Thank you. And I have to check out your the show about the orgasm, because we've talked about that too. I have to post it as one of my feature shows, the time that we talked about orgasm. But one of my friends who is an intimacy advisor who had guest on the show a few times, she is a rep for Slumber Party, and her name is Linda Bostic. And what you were hearing the episodes that when she and I talk about the topic of faking orgasms, she said it's that the couple is not benefiting from faking it. Couples should do their best to be honest and work on achieving orgasm.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, my thing, and you'll hear it anyway in the conversation, my thing is the time that you take to fake it, the time that you could be working on making it happen for real.
Yeah.
My bottom line. And that, you know, anything that I do, I try to play out 100%. I don't do the half or quarter of the energy, because I think, you know, the energy that you give brings the energy that you want back to you. So if you put something, if you put something out 100%, the likelihood is you'll get that quality back, because somebody is feeling that and experiencing that from you. So, you know, why go into it half-heartedly or decide that you're gonna step out before it even happens? Come on. No.
Now we're talking karma, but it seems like you're talking sexual karma.
Yeah, that's right. what it is.
That's karma, but the sexual and sensual karma. Wow.
That's just karma.
And within relation, not just sex, but relationships, period.
Well, you know what? Because people feed off your energy. You know that. If you walk into a room, and I don't know if I realize it though,
sex is definitely a way where you can lose a lot of energy, and also some people feed off people and give people energy from when they have sex with them. But a lot of times people lose their. You're right. A lot of times people lose their energy. I wonder why they're so drained, because they're effortlessly wasting their energy having sex with people they shouldn't be having sex with.
That's right. So if you find that you're making love to someone and you're not feeling that energy, which is the right energy for you, that works for you, then don't be doing it. You know, let it go. The more honest thing is to, if it's your husband, you may have a problem in just letting it go. But if it's a partner and you're just working on a relationship, then I would say think very hard about whether you want to continue that or spend some time really having a conversation about how you can make it work.
And that's a good point, because what if it's really a couple that's really in love, but for some reason they're not getting their chi, you know, they're not getting that energy right.
Mm.
Because it could be a couple that's honestly in love, married couple, or a couple courting or dating or exclusive or whatever, but just something's not right. That's a good topic to talk about. How do you get that what's not right right when you know you are in a good relationship, but just something's not clicking?
Yeah. So you're not
when
clicking.
When you really know you live for one another.
Yeah, you do. But, you know, and it could be that in your mind you're not you or even the person, there is some form of disconnection in the process, because even though you might heartily love that person, you may not actually fancy that person. Do you know what I mean? When I say fancy, so you're not sexually attracted to that person in a way that makes you want to respond to that person, that in a way that will be helpful sexually for the relationship. So you're thinking about that person, you're thinking, he's a nice guy, you know, he looks after me. Do I think when I see him I want to rip his clothes off? No. Do I want to rip his clothes off? No, I don't. But you know what? He's a nice guy. You know, he looks after me. He's okay. But then
there's a guy or two out there that, oh, my God, I hope I can keep my composure when I'm around him. But, yeah,
there's another guy. Yeah, there's another guy you'll meet, and you think, I want to talk to you. I don't have nothing to say to you. I just want in the sack. I just want you to take those clothes off and let's get it on. Like, you know, that's a motivator for something that could happen and could be very good for both of you if he feels the same, okay, or he has similar feelings. But if you are thinking about someone in your life that you're going to be intimate with and you're not thinking, oh, I miss this person, oh, my God, I really just can't wait to get with that person, you know, then I think that's an indicator that possibly, potentially, sexually, you won't get on either. Do you know what I mean? You've got to have the hots for that person. You know, that person must, you know, there's got to be something in your mind that person connects with that makes you want that person. Because wanting the person is part of it, you know. I've got to want you, even when you're not with me, I've got to want you. I've got to want to see you, want to be with you, want to be intimate with you, you know.
It wants that person to be with you. Yeah. That's a guy, too. I'd love to express things to, but not time yet. Because I wouldn't want it not to work. And then also, I guess I'm trying to be old fashioned, too. But some ladies, but sometimes you don't get. I've always been a go getter. I think I'm similar to you in that way. I've always been a go getter. It's not about being aggressive, but I've always been assertive. I'm a shy person, but when I want something, I want something. You know, but I'm like, okay, I'm gonna be more ladylike, and with a stereotypical ladylike. And let the guy express to me, but the guy might not express. Or he might need to be to know, because I don't always know if people like me or interested in me or even want to be my friend. So you and I have expressed to one another, we are cohorts, but we expressed that we would like to be friends. You know, even women don't know, okay, is she really my friend? We just networking because we're co-hosts, we're hosts on the same network, or you know, do we generally like each other and want to be friends? You know, so that's, I look at that
in relationship
too. Is it like mutual? You know?
You've got to feel that person, and are you feeling that person? And sometimes you meet someone. I had a date last night. I had a date. But I had Friday night. I had a date with someone who I knew at work who liked me in a previous job. So I've left that job now a long while, and we still every so often that person calls me, but I tell you what the interesting thing was, why I went on the date, was because I rang a friend who works with that person still. And that person, he said to me, do you see this guy? And I said, no, I don't see him. You know, like we were friends when I was there, but, you know, I just ignored him because I felt he wasn't ready. You know, he wasn't ready for me. Mm-hmm. He had too much going on. So I just ignored him, although I know he kind of liked me, but I couldn't tell you whether that was a serious like or what that like was. And he said to me, we've been wondering since you left the company, because almost every day that guy talks about you. You know, I can come over and I'll be talking about something completely different and he will find a way to have a conversation about you. Oh, do you know what Ebony's doing? Blah, 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 blah. And he will go into the whole story. He watches your shows. He follows you. He just does everything. And I was like, oh, my God. Right? I was like, no, really? He said, ask anybody. If you think I'm lying, go and ring your friends who you are still friends with and ask them if it's not true. So I rang one of my girlfriends and I said, well, you know, does that happen? What's going on? She said, well, I don't know what you did to him, but ever since you left, there is nothing but he cannot stop talking about you. And she said, I really think it's quite a deep like. So I said, all right, okay. But you know what? I'm not even going there. If he wants to talk to me, he'll have to make the move, okay? So I left it. And I said to her, don't you dare say anything. Just leave it, okay? If he wants to say something, he has to be man enough to initiate something. I'm not going to initiate for him. Let's wait and see. Because, you know, this is all third party.
So I'm on the same page with you when it comes to that, okay?
Yeah. It's third party. You're telling me that. That may be your interpretation. It doesn't mean that's what he's really thinking for himself. So I left it. And then Friday morning, I got a call from him this Friday, and he said, how are you? And I said, I'm okay. And he said, well, you know what? He said, I want us to go on a date. So I said, oh, really? So he said, yeah, I've just bought a brand new convertible car, and it's an old style vintage car with a top down, and the weather wasn't bad on Friday. And he said, it's actually quite a nice day. I'm going to come and pick you up, and we will go for driving my car if you want. And we can go eat and hang out for a bit. And what do you think? So I said, okay, yeah, let's do that. I said, although I haven't got a lot of time to prepare because I was busy on Friday. But I said, but you know what? I'll make some time and come and pick me up and we'll go out. And he did. And it was a really nice evening. It was really interesting because he took me out. We ate. And then he said, can I go meet up with one of my friends? So, you know, and you come along. And I said, oh, okay. So went along and met two of his friends, very good friends from a long time. And we just had a very casual, fun evening. I had a drink, chat, and I had fun. And then he took me home. And I just thought, okay, that's kind of interesting. Because he kept it very light. There was nothing serious. He never said anything. Well, he said, I'd love to have another date with you, but he didn't make it like, you know, I want to say anything particular to you. I think he was just trying to feel me out. But, you know, as women can do, I said, well, you know, I really enjoyed myself. You know, I had a good time. Yeah, and I'd love to see you again. And I just left it as that. So, who knows? We'll see. We'll see where it goes, you know. But interesting because, you know, when you're kind of in the relationship game where you're advising other people, it's interesting how much of your own advice you take.
So you take a lot of your advice?
I think I do. My friends come up and they all like, what did you do? What did you say? What? And I was like, no, I kept it really light. And I was quite
happy. I take my own advice too.
I this is what I told my girls, I'm going to do it. Just be very light, you know. I dress nicely, but not too sexy. But, you know, something that was enough for where we went. So I kept it very light in terms of what I was wearing as well. So I didn't go out, like, you know, dressed up to the nines, like, oh, my God, I'm really on a date here. It was very casual. So I had jeans on, but a really nice top. So
yeah, because he already told you it's going to be fun and casual with this vintage.
Yeah, very casual.
Convertible car, but when you hear the word vintage, you know you had to at least be.
Oh,
some
yeah, the
kind
top
of
had to be nice. The top
yeah.
was nice.
And you had to be some sort of spiffy, but it's casual spiffy.
Yeah. Well, the jeans were there for the casual effect, but the top was a really nice top. And, you know, and I made sure I looked nice in his car because he was dressed as well. But he had jeans on too, but a really nice top, nice shirt on top of the jeans. So that told you that we were on the same page in terms of thinking how we wanted it to be. So, yeah, I'm just going to wait and see. It's an interesting one.
I haven't re-entered the dating world yet, but I'm looking forward to it. Like I told you, I'm, you know, waiting to be legally single, but, you know, I guess I could see, I just, it was still dating. But that's where I'm at right there. Somebody who worked in beauty and fashion, I'm a person who's recently has been like a homebody, taking care of my dogs, spending time with my mom who's 80, but then also getting back out there, living my life and upgrading my social life and interested in, and guys, and I know guys are interested in me, heterosexual, but some girls too. But, you know, I just had to add that joke in there, kind of. But, because the girls be like, well, why are you didn't shout me out? But I'm heterosexual, yeah. But no, I have to shout them out. I have to shout my friends out. But you're not shouting me out. But I know that's where I'm at. It's all about, because I'm always talking about your appearance. And if it's dealing with jobs, or especially in dating, I'm always posting, I'm always talking about how important it is, how you carry yourself and how you dress.
Yeah.
Like you said, you didn't overdress, you didn't over reveal, you didn't show too much of your goods.
No.
So it's important. So I'm at that. I need a new wardrobe. I need to revamp a lot before I even think about dating. You know?
Yeah. And I think
serious hardcore dating.
Yeah, serious. Yeah, and I think you can go. What you can do is go out on light occasions. You know, just to get your feet back in the water. But, you know, if you are
coffee or stuff like that.
Yeah, go do a little hanging out with a guy where you just talk, have a laugh and eat and maybe, not even eat, just have a drink or whatever, but just don't take it all too seriously. And I think what you find is that guys are fine with that.
It's not too long.
Yeah, not too long, a few hours together, a couple of hours. Well, we did a few hours together, so I would have met him up. I met him up about 8 o'clock and I was home by 11.
That was fine.
Yeah, that was fine. And, you know, he went back out and stayed out till about, I think, about 11 in the morning, he told me, with his guys. But I'm happy for that because I wouldn't have wanted to be part of that. You know, that's fine. So you decide what you want. But I think, you know, you can be smart about it and make it fun for yourself also. And just, you know, allow you to have those conversations you know, that people have when they're interested, but don't give away too much, but don't hold too, you know, don't make it too serious, but at the same time, don't give away too much, but keep it sparkly and fun, and you'll always have date number two.
Sometimes I talk about on the Wednesday show in regards to matters of the heart, don't talk about those exes.
Yeah, no, don't go there.
Oh, my God.
Any ex, don't talk about anybody in your life. They're an ex for a reason. That means they don't need to be talked about. They don't have to be remembered. Unless you've got children with them, in which case, in my case, just when it's about the child or children, we can talk. Other than that, I really don't remember that you exist because I've got a life and I've moved on. But
you're talking about your kids, of course, because they're your everyday life.
Yeah.
But you know, my ex.
No, don't ever have that conversation at the dinner table. That would be it. No, because you're going to be judged by it as well, because people think you're still carrying your baggage around or carry what I call your graveyard of past relationships.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Just leave that.
I would be legally single, because even though I have no contact with my strange husband, I have that baggage of being legally married. What if somebody want to I want to get married again. What if somebody proposed to me that I want to marry? Or what if I propose to somebody and they say yes? I want to be able to get married right then and there.
Yeah.
It isn't if I want a third marriage, but it's all about the marriage in the future. What do you think about like relationships? I mean, are you looking to get married again? Or you just want a fulfilled relationship, a fulfilled romance?
I'd like to get married. I think it'd be nice. It would be nice. You know, my youngest daughter is off to university next year, and I think that's a real chance.
You're not your age talking about kids and university, so.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I am that age. I just don't. I just, what I say to people is, age is a number. It really, in your mind, you've never aged. But it's about. It's about recognizing that, yes, you age, but it's not allowing that age to become a definition of who you are. You know, you can still have fun and enjoy yourself, no matter what age. But, you know, it has its limitations when you get to about 70 or 80, but know that any other time or when you're still young, when you're in your 30s, 40s, or 50s, you can still have a great time out there. And relationships are not off bounds. Just, you know, what you have is the experience. You know, and whatever you say, there's no shortcut to experience. And sometimes we get restricted by that whole conversation about, you know, I'm older, I don't want to say how old I am, and I don't want men to perceive me as old or whatever. Listen, you have the experience that a young person doesn't have. And there's a saying in the Caribbean community, The new broom sweeps clean, but the old broom knows the corner.
It's in Jamaica. Why are we talking about going to Miami? In Bahamas, right there, Miami. Okay, then what?
We say that. We say the new broom is sweeping clean, but the old broom knows the corners. And your old broom knows the corners. So they know how to make you have fun, and they know what it takes to actually, you know, commit and to be responsible as well. So you have
that's the point. But some people, I think, assume I'm a cougar. I don't consider myself a cougar, because back to what you were saying, I know there are guys that I admire and that are my age and older. They have more youthfulness in them than any 20-something-year-old. Just back to what you were saying, it's all in your mind, because, you know, I have this 100 hot guys list, and it's guys of all ages, and for the summer, Timok, who is 48 from the last Dragon, and he's lived in London before, and talking about somebody that loves London and New York, but he's 48 years old, and he looked like he's 28,
No, I said, there you go.
Yeah, and Adam Rodriguez tied with him, number one. He's like in his mid-30s. But you look at some of these men. You look at even Simon Cowell. How old is he, like 51?
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the UK. I mean, look at these guys. Guys of all ages, from their 20s on up, that take care of themselves. And also we women. There are some
women
who are youthful and just have so much youthfulness.
I think the problem is when you get older, if you stop looking after yourself. and you stop looking good and, you know, making sure that you make an effort, that's when you're going to have the problem.
Yeah, that polished, that polished look.
And smile a lot. People don't smile enough.
A lot of young people that need polished look too. But you're, I know what you're saying. A lot of people get stop doing what they do. It's funny you mentioned that because I was watching an episode of Lucy last Sunday, and that was the topic of Lucy in because Lucy was trying to figure out why Daisy was not paying attention to her. And Ethel was like, it was written, told her about this book. And Lucy, every morning, Lucy has hair rollers in her hair. She's in flannel pajamas every morning. And so it was like, okay, a light bulb was like over her head because Ethel had brought it to her attention. Well, you don't dress yourself up anymore. You know, do you give Ricky, give Dez any, Ricky, right? Dez any reason to look at you because he would be reading the paper and drinking the coffee and not even look up at her. So it's funny that you mentioned that because that's what the topic was all about, how you should continue to take care of yourself for your house.
It's true because you think about it yourself, right? If you had to wake up every day to someone who looked like they'd just been dragged out of somewhere, like, come on, you know, and then you're walking around.
Every morning, so they never look together.
But women, we need to, no, it's not just women, and men too. I hate men, and I do say this on my show, I hate men who can't look down and see their toes. I don't do men who have bare guts. I do not do it. I do not have, I'm sorry, any man out there, if your stomach looks like you are 3 or 4 months pregnant, you are not of interest to me. I'm sorry. I draw the line.
And that's another thing. I put my abs back. I'm working on getting my abs back. And so I don't, you know, go dating until I get my flat stomach back.
Yeah, I don't
get buy up a collection of Spanx.
Well, you know what? I just say to people out there, right, just think how it is. I'm not saying that you have to be super slim as a man. What I'm saying is, deal with that stomach thing, because as you get older, middle age, it isn't exciting to have it hanging all over you. And no, it is so unsexy. No, I'm not saying you've got to have a six pack.
And I think men can take care of their stomach areas and midsections better than women. So you make a good point. Men of
both
sizes can take care of that part. Women bodies, you know, women, that's kind of like where women, I guess, collect. Even thin women.
We have more reasons to collect.
You can see the thinnest woman and see that little pooch.
Yeah.
But
the pooch is there because we carried a baby. We carried life. We brought life into the world. And, you know, men have to recognize that that's our function. That's what we do if we choose to have children. So there will always be a little pouch left there. There's nothing wrong with a pouch, whatever. It's, you know, what is the excuse for a man? You didn't carry a baby. You haven't had to bring life into the world. You haven't had your body stretched twice the size it is to let out a baby or a child. So the thing is, what is your excuse? You know? So my thing is, you know, where you want us to look good for you, I want you to look good for me too. I want to feel like, you know, proud when I'm walking down the street. And I tell you what, there was a guy at work recently, you know, and we both started the job at the same time. And he came in, and one day he was in the kitchen making a coffee, and I was standing there, and he bent over to get something. I was like, oh my God. Like, I'm not that kind of woman who kind of will look at a man's body, but he was in such great shape. I was like, oh my God. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's a nice thing to see. And he wasn't a young guy. He was in his 40s, like 44, 45. But he said to me, you know, I just really take care of myself. I go to the gym a few times a week, and I really work hard to keep my body in shape because I just don't want to be out of shape, you know. And I think, you know, as you get older, it's so much more easy to get out of shape. And so, I was like, respect to you. You know, well done. You know, a woman who gets you and, you know, and he's in a relationship. I was like, woman who gets you, she's going to get something good. Because at least you believe in paying attention to that detail. I like it. But, you know, that's my thing. If you've got a beer gut, you've got something hanging off you, I'm not interested. Apart from what should be hanging off.
You have that found. hanging in the right places, huh?
Yeah, you must be hanging in the right places. If you're not, then don't bother to waste your time with me. I'm not gonna go there. And it is that thing of attraction, right? I am not gonna be attracted. I'm sorry, it's not gonna help me. You know, no. There you go. But, you know, I just think we should all be healthy. Isn't that you have to be super thin? But, you know, health is good. I don't want to know that when I'm dating you that you have the potential, you know, even if it isn't that you've got a beer gut as a guy, you know, if you drink too much, you know, you're going to have potential liver problems or whatever. You know, we all need to try and be as healthy as we can. So, you know, I think health is most important. You don't have to be super thin. You don't even have to be, you know, have a six pack, but you need to be looking after yourself. That's good enough for me. Yeah.
But health conscious. Now, a workout partner, and I can see myself, you know, I mean, I love to have a guy in my life that I can work with and exercise with. And I ain't talking about, working out with, exercising and supporting one another and eating healthy, you know.
Oh, that, look, I tell you, girl, that is the best thing in the world. I mean, I stopped running because my ex, I used to run with my ex. And actually, when I put on when I had my daughter, I put on a load of weight. And he helped me to lose the weight by jogging. We used to jog, you know, almost every day. And I lost the weight in about 6 months. But, you know, instead of him saying to me, you know, honey, you're already overweight, he just said, like, let's start running together. And the two of us ran, and over a 6-month, 7-month period, I lost the weight. And when we broke up, I stopped running, and it was my daughter who got me back into running. But I have to say, you know, I was dating someone, and he didn't want to do any exercise together. You know, it was all like, I need to go do stuff on my own. You need to do stuff on your own. I was like, what an opportunity that you've missed, because it's such a real opportunity to bond with someone when you work out together. You know, you sweat together.
Because I had the worst trouble gaining weight before, and I've always been health conscious, but I need to drop some LBs right now. And I'm concerned about my health with these LBs. When I was too thin, I was concerned, because when you're too thin, you can have a heart attack or get sick. I've never been anorexic, but I always had trouble gaining weight. But now I need to drop the LBs, and I'm concerned. I want to lose the LBs. I'm living and feeling good and healthy, but I know I need to drop these LBs. And yes, I do have an exception. Like meet a guy that we are supportive of one another and work out, and that's my mindset anyway, being motivated and exercising and working out. That's why I mentioned, and then you mentioned that when you all worked out together, how you lost the weight, and then your daughter got you back out into it. But there's an exception to, because I'm like, well, okay, when I feel comfortable after dropping LBs and blah, 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 then I resumed dating. But then if just miraculously it's somebody where we were very supportive with each other in regards to health and exercise, and never know what happened.
There you go. So true.
But it's important to have people that are motivators and supporters, and back to what you were saying, not belittle you.
Absolutely. And, you know, and you do form a bond with someone who you're working out with. And if it's a partner and they want to see you look good, you want to see them look good, it's a nice motivation. It really is. And I think what you find as well is that your love life improves, because when you're that fit, you know, when you get to a peak of fitness and your partner is also at that peak of fitness, wow, it's like the Clash of the Titans in the bed. Do you know what I mean? Like, woo!
Exactly. But then
everything goes to another level. It's lovely.
Then, you know what? Because I talk a lot about, you know, it's the entertainment lifestyle show, so I talk a lot about healthy eating and what you and I are talking about now. But then also, throughout my research, and I noticed too from experience that having sex helps you burn a lot of calories.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, you can work out, but you know what? Then you go and do your extra workout, and you know what? That gives you even more. And the
exactly.
thing with that one, yeah, the thing with that is that I always say to people, that is a workout you don't have to pay for. You don't have to, you know, it's totally free. It's voluntary. You can put your 100% energy in it and get so much out. And it's brilliant. It's, you know, we underestimate sometimes how much weight you can lose during the process.
Yeah, exactly.
Depending on what you're putting out. But, you know, I hear people who say, oh, you know, it can take up too much of your time, too much of your life. You know, I just want to get in there quick and get out. I'm like, you know, you minute people, huh? You need to just carry on with your minute business. I'm not interested. You know, like, no. I don't want no minute man. I don't want no 5 minute man. No. We need to have a proper interaction.
What do you think about cuddling and stuff
like
that?
I love cuddling. Yeah, I love cuddling. I think it's great after to have a nice cuddle, and it's great even before or during if you want to have a cuddle. But you know what? I think when you're on it, you're on it. You know, if you're still healthy enough to have a good workout in each session, you know, have it, enjoy it. Because you know what? Life is so short. And as well, we change over time. And you don't know if you always be in that healthy state where you can have it that way. So when you have it, play full out. Enjoy it. You know, go 100%. I'm not saying you got to kill yourself. Just have fun and enjoy it.
You're so crazy. Yeah. Don't go have a heart attack, huh? you didn't say go over-exert yourself, huh?
Yeah, don't kill yourself. You don't need to, but, like, have fun. And don't be afraid to try some new things. Yeah, so that's what I say to people. Always don't be afraid. Be open. I think, you know, it's like anything. If you're open-minded about it and you remove the stigmas and all those conversations you have in your head about how it could be or how it should be, know that it will be so easy to have a really great experience. But you've got to step out of that conversation of limitation. You know, oh, it's going to hurt. I'm going to be tired. It's going to take too long. Oh, hurry up. I've got other things to do. Oh, come on. It's free time. It is free God-given time. Just enjoy and forget everything else until it's over. Because you know what? You know, I think that's such good use of your time. But, you know, other people may have different views, but that's just how I see it. You know,
ooh.
Yeah, it's fun.
Tell everyone your website.
Yeah, I have more than one website, but the one that most recently I set up was with a guy in Texas called Steve Dejean Williams, and he does the Thursday show.
That was posting with you the day I listened about.
Yeah, that's okay.
That guy is hilarious.
He is
okay.
funny. He's funny.
He's from Dallas.
He's from, he's from Texas. Texas? Yeah.
Which city is he in, Dallas or Houston?
He's in Dallas, I think.
Okay, because, you know, that's where Red Roughneck is that you had met that morning.
Oh,
I love Dallas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
I think he's in Dallas. He is so funny. He is, you know, I met him through Blog Talk, and when I first went on to his show, a bit like your show, we ended up talking for about 3 hours nonstop, two of us. We clashed and we fought. And when we finished the show, he called me and he said, right, we need to do a show together. So I was like, are you joking? He said, yeah, we need to do a regular show together. So we've set up a website which is called Marriage End Game. So Marriage End, E-N-D, that's E for elephant, N for November, D for dog,
marriageendgame.co.uk.
Yeah, it's .co.uk, not .com. So marriageendgame.co.uk. And there you can see all my podcasts, information and stuff that we're doing, that people might want to relate to around relationships. But, yeah, I have a really great time working with him.
So it's marriageendgame.co.uk?
It's marriage end game. Marriage end, like end of the road.
Marriage end game.
Yeah, end game. .co.uk.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you go there, you can see.
MarriageEndGame.co.uk.
Yes.
.co.uk.
That's the one.
Okay, cool. And what's your other website?
Well, the other website's not really working at the moment, so I wouldn't worry too much. But we have a website that we're doing just for a dating event. I've got a new dating event that's going out on the 31st of October, so for singles in the UK. But if you're single anywhere else and you want to just see what we're doing, it's datenightuk.co.uk. So Date Night UK, and it's Date Night, not N-I-G-E, it's Date Night, N-I-T-E, so Date Night, yeah, Date Night,
okay.
Date Night UK.co.uk, so a little bit technical, but if you go on there, or go to the Facebook page, Date Night UK, and it's spelled the same way, N-I-T-E. You'll find out all the information about our event that's coming up, our singles night out. We're doing a singles event.